Hi, folks. Afternoon, good morning, good evening for some folks. Once again, thanks for joining our OMS Tech Friday session. Some of you folks have been here for all four sessions, and thank you again for joining. For the new folks, welcome. This is our OMS Tech Friday session, as I said. And in this session, we focus on our OMS solution and helping you, our customers, our partners, our MVPs, to understand a little bit about more about the OMS solution and items that you can deploy from the OMS solution overall. So again, as I said, welcome everybody. Everything that is shared here is public information. Use the IM window for questions, and as per usual, our sessions are recorded and posted at the following URL, which is HTTP AKMS OMS Fridays. So today we're gonna take another look into our log analytics solution, and I'll do a quick overview on what's the Operation Management Suite. If you're not new to this call, this will be old information for you. And then we'll look at the insight and analytics area, and we'll be talking about our VMware monitoring solution. And I have on the call our PM for that solution, which is Kiko, and she'll be taking you guys through the solution, and we'll work with you to answer questions and such alike. So, quick overview, what's OMS? All right, it's a suite of solutions that allow us to create this management and security management platform for our on-premises infrastructure, private clouds as you might have them, and if you're running resources in the public cloud, whether it be Azure and Amazon Web Service, for example. And OMS sits in four pillars. So we have automation and control, insight and analytics, security and compliance, protection and recovery. And broadly, with automation and control, we are looking at stuff like Azure Automation, DSC, and ensuring that our environment is configured in a consistent way, for example. So insight and analytics, that's the core of that is our log analytics solution. So again, we are monitoring your environment, and we're taking that data and leveraging that data to provide you deep insight, into what is taking place in your environment. Now, if you're running any form of enterprise infrastructure, security and compliance is very important. And we leverage our security and audit solution and the Azure Threat Management Center to help you to visualize what is taking place, from a security perspective in the environment. That includes solutions such as anti-malware management, update management, change management, as the case may be. And last but not least, we have our solution that is focused on protection and recovery. So this is our disaster recovery solution. So your backup and your Azure Site Recovery solution that helps you to ensure business continuity and disaster and availability in your environment. So the key takeaway here when we talk about OMS is or the suite of solutions in that inside the OMS suite is that there's this holistic, overall, overarching solution that helps you to manage the life cycle of your enterprise. So whether it's deployment, managing and ensuring that your configuration is consistent, looking at monitoring the environment and taking action from alerts, protecting it and securing your environment, and have an overall governance policy for your on-premises infrastructure, whether it be in the cloud or in Azure or a secondary cloud, we give you this holistic approach that allows you to manage the infrastructure. So it's all encompassing, and it allows you to be consistent in how you manage your environment. So we talk about collecting data from our environment. We again, the solution is hybrid. So we cover not only Windows machines, obviously, Linux machines, but we have multiplicity of data collection sources, from your environment. And today we'll talk about one way or one solution that we can collect additional data from. So it whether it be application logs, telemetry data, event logs, performance counters, syslog information, Linux in firewall logs, wherever, we have the ability to collect that data, visualize and analyze it in the OMS workspace in Azure. So one of the things that you, when we talk about our log analytics solution and why you should consider this solution is you it's hyperscale, and I think that is the biggest one of the biggest reasons why you would want to consider OMS. When you think about infrastructure, that would be needed to manage your environment at the scale that OMS is available. It would be very difficult to deploy a similar infrastructure on premises. So we give you this out-of-the-box solution that grows with your environment, that allows you to manage your environment wherever it lives, whether it be again on premises, in Azure, or in other cloud solution. So today we want to talk about one pillar. We're focusing on our insight and analytics pillar. And Kiko Harder, who is the program manager for this VMware monitoring solution, she's a program manager in the OMS team. She's going to take you through to walk you through to monitoring your VMware environments using OMS Log Analytics. So I'm going to turn the show over to Kiko. Kiko, afternoon. Take it from there.
Right. Hi. Thank you for attending this this session for sorry, Friday morning, and I hope you could actually see my slides. So my name is Keiko Harada. I work for the OMS team as part of the ecosystem group. And here in our group, what we do is we actually also focus on more or less on the third-party solutions as well too. So it's not just like first party such as Microsoft, but we also look into VMware, and I also own container solution as well too. So we actually go into creating solutions like that, as well as working with partners to make sure the partners are enabled on OMS. So here today, I will go through some of the pieces that we heard from the customer, what we did with that, and then how to actually deploy it. At the same time, I actually do hear a lot of people about as asking me a little bit more questions in detail about, okay, what is it like, what can we do? Is there anything else that I need to actually go through in terms of troubleshooting? So those are some of the pieces that I will go through and also introduce you to some documentation. So here, what I've actually did initially with VMware was I understand a lot of customers do actually already own VMware. We're not here to actually say, hey, you know what? You should stop using VMware. It's more or less like, okay, how do we complement it with OMS? So what we and with all the interviews we've done with customers, we've heard multiple pieces, which is what you're actually seeing in the PowerPoint right now. One thing is actually people are asking us ESXi hosts are generating too many logs. And if you're aware of ESXi hosts, if you actually log in within var log, you'll see about 41 logs. That's how many daemons are, and that's how many logs they would actually generate. And for as a customer, you'll be like, as an admin or as yourself actually helping the customer actually administer ESXi, doing troubleshooting is just a pain because you would have that many logs. You would have, multiple of ESXi hosts. It's all over the place. So one of the pieces that people did come up to us and say is like, is there a way that we could actually have a centralized location that I could just do a quick, trending or quick querying and all that? The other thing that people are asking us was like, well, it's great that you're capturing logs, but is there a way that we could also understand who is actually that creating that log VMs or who's creating the who's deleting the VMs as well too? The reason why is because, admins are not always creating the VMs for their developers or their users, but at the same time, they'll be like, here you go. We're actually creating all these. They would actually spontaneously create their own VMs or delete it based upon whether their application or project actually ends. And that actually is an issue for procurement as well too. How many hosts do I really need going forward and whatnot? So that's one of the things. The other thing is actually hey, you know what? I have all these SCSI devices, SAN storages and whatnot attached to my these ESXi hosts for the data sets and whatnot. How do I actually, make sure that, I understand that warnings are coming out because sometimes these warnings don't really actually turn into an error messages, which is what people are alerted to. Sometimes the warning just keeps on going and then it actually causes a fatal error that actually kills the hardware immediately. Hey, we need to have some, sign that actually preludes that through the error messages. Can you help out? Can I alert based upon these logs? And the other thing that people are asking us was like, I really don't want to install anything on my ESXi host. So these were all that, customer pain points that we heard, and we said, yeah, sure, that actually all sounds good, and that's something that I think we could actually provide you better solution with OMS. So here, what we actually did was with all that customer feedback that we're getting and also requirements and all that, what I did was I focused more or less on the ESXi host and actually said, okay, you know what, ESXi host already has a capability that forwards, you know, syslog. I don't have to, you know, put any application on the ESXi host, which was actually really good. And then within that, what we asked the customer to do was to create a VM, because again, you know, they don't want their environment to be disrupted, which is totally understandable. And then say, hey, you know what, why don't we just install an agent in that VM? And of course that, you know, VM could actually have multiple ESXi hosts forwarding their syslog into this VM. And by the way, when I say syslog, it's actually a syslog protocol that we're using. We're not writing any information in this VM. We're just listening to this. So just bear in mind that the VM that you're creating here, it doesn't have to be big. You don't have to have a lot of disk space. We're just actually listening to the protocols. I have a machine in my lab. I have about, like, you know, 8 ESXi hosts that are generating tons of load. They're actually, you know, pushing data. VM here, it's very minimal in terms of CPU and memory. So I create a VM that actually, Linux VM, and of course you could actually create a Linux VM, you know, from your ESXi host. It doesn't matter. It could be from your Hyper-V, you know, whoever, right? Just install Linux on it, and it could be any flavor, like, you know, CentOS, Ubuntu, or whatever. And then you just actually set up that settings and then push it, and then OMS would actually take it from there and push the information into it. Actually, the same can that Linux host be an Azure VM? I've actually seen some. So you can actually use an Azure VM, but what I did was I ended up not doing that because there's firewall situations with your company, and then your external. So sometimes the Azure VM will not actually. You need to actually open up ports and all that, which could be a lot more cumbersome than you would actually create a VM on-prem and then just push the data into OMS. So as long as you can do the firewall or networking settings, Azure VM can be utilized. Okay. And then, you know, currently what we do is we do actually support ESXi host 5.5 and 6.0. And again, we don't write to the VM here. We don't actually push the logs and write it into the disk and internally there. So again, it's very light. You wouldn't actually see too much of an, even though you actually have a VM from one of these ESXi hosts, you would not see impact at all. Okay. So if we go to the next slide. So I actually get this a lot with customers in terms of, like, you know, okay, how do I set it up and all that, which it is already on my documentation, but I thought it would be good to kind of provide that information. Again, like I said, I'm not actually adding any application or anything into your native ESXi host. It's more or less like, hey, you know, we're just using the capability that vSphere provides. Just log in and then actually do the quick setting. So when you actually go in here with the syslog global log host, what it is that when you actually go into vSphere, you could actually go into the settings. And again, you can do the settings through the vCenter as well too. It's not like the settings have to be with vSphere. Once you get in there, you could just go into configuration, advanced setting, and then there, you know, you'll actually see syslog. You just need to actually apply the port number that we actually tell you, which is 1514, and then the IP address. That's all you have to do, click it. And then next, once you've actually have that setting done, and by the way, these settings are not disruptive, so it will not reboot your server. So the customer could actually, like, you know, figure out, okay, yeah, I want to be safe. I wanted to actually do it on a downtime, not downtime, like, you know, like a time where, like, the host is not, in, you know, that busy. Hey, let me just do this quickly. It could be done really quickly as well, too. After that, ESXi host does have a firewall setting, and it actually has settings that you actually say, hey, this is some of the piece that you can actually do, such as, hey, you know, can you actually push syslog? Can you actually push SSH and whatnot? You just actually go into that same configuration, but go into the security profile on the left-hand side, and then actually click on syslog. There's a pop-up that actually says, would you like to enable and all that? So you just actually click on it. You see there, this is actually the pop-up itself. I could click on it and just say, okay, again, this firewall setting will not disrupt the ESXi host, it would not reboot it. So again, you know, for some customers that are not aware of this, and you'll be surprised, there are customers who are not really aware of this capability that they have with the vSphere. But you could actually do that would actually set it. Okay. So let me actually now go into the actual demo and then show you what capabilities I've actually added in based upon the customer feedback I got initially. Let me show you that now. Okay. So I'm not sure whether you all are aware, but we do have our VMware monitoring inside the OMS Experience Center. So let's say if you don't have access, please actually have that. You can actually see that these are live ESXi hosts that are running currently today. And also they're actually, you know, providing the log information. So what I did was, you know, for those that, you know, have not seen our documentation, the links are actually here. So you could actually go into all these links. They would actually provide you the information of what information we're capturing. So let's say what I've actually done was I simplified a lot of stuff. Like I said, there's so many logs left and right with the ESXi hosts that are generating. Let me just show you an example, like how many there are. There's about 41, and this is actually an actual ESXi host. You'll see that there's about 41 logs, and these are all the logs that we're currently capturing for you today. And that's just one ESXi. So imagine that you actually have so many. It's hard to actually keep track of it. And then within there, you wanted to actually make sure that, hey, you know, what's my error that's generating? So what we did was we actually capture that for you and then simplify that. So let's say, like, you know, this top host has, it seems like, four error codes are coming up. You can actually see that, hey, it seems like it's been generating today and yesterday, and it seems like there's this, you know, remote failure, and then also APDD.start, you know, something's actually happening. You can actually drill it down and then actually click on that, and then you'll see the actual log. We don't, even though we actually tokenize and make it into a field, we don't eliminate any logs so that customer can actually do their troubleshooting. So you can see that ESXi problem, the storage APDD.start, seems like some, you know, file system error is actually happening and some of the path went down. Seems like this actually ESXi host is having some path failure. So it's something that you would need to log in and then figure out whether there's any hardware failures that are actually happening. So it's really simple for customers to really identify the issue from here, but at the same time, they could actually go and say, hey, what's my next action? And it'll actually lead you to it. Yes, we do automatically parse these logs and then fields for you. So you don't have to do any parsing. And then the other thing that we actually do provide you is actually like is the host events. As you're aware, there's so many events that are happening. But you wanted to understand whether, you know, hey, I'm actually capturing like, you know, this many events, but are those events really sporadic or they're just actually something that's happening just now? And you can see that they are sporadic. So you see these big two points that are like popping up. These two points, you could actually drill down and say, okay, yeah, I see that, you know, the 08 machine is actually pretty much high. So I could just click on the 08 machine. You can see that the spikes here too, right? So you could actually go there and then say, hey, you know what, those two spikes that I see it here, hey, I wanted to drill down even further. So you could click on that, and that could actually parse you and then, you know, provide you that information. You could actually drill down into that log and say, hey, you know what, it seems like there's some activities happening on my ESXi host. So we're giving you that's actually pretty simple. To drill down, but at the same time, you have your logs. You're not actually confused which host is what. Because if you have that many hosts, if you have to log into them separately, it is pretty painful. And ESXi, the vSphere, and then also the vCenter doesn't give you these capabilities. And then the other thing that I've actually got for the customer piece, customer feedback was, hey, the VMs. So what we did was we did actually create that VM creation and deletion information. And of course, you know, these are not something that you could actually see from the log itself. And I'll show you how the log looks like. But what we did was we actually simplified it and then made sure that we tokenized some of these fields as well too. Some fields. It depends. And if you could actually give me more information later on, that would be great. Let me just continue with this to kind of show you. So the custom fields on the left-hand side are actually on the left-hand side. You'll see all my custom fields that I've actually created. And again, depending on what it is, it could actually show, it would actually appear or not appear. For example, the ESXi failure, because I'm actually parsing it using these particular queries, that's why it's not showing, but in reality, it does show. Just wanted to kind of provide you that. So let's say people are actually creating VMs, and I wanted to know who they are. which data center, which what's the VM name, what's the host name, and what activity they did. Here, I'm actually capturing the audit-like capabilities as well, too. And by the way, we could do this for delete as well, too, so it's not just for create. It's just that, you know, creation was something that people were popping up. And I could actually give you queries. I have queries here that I actually will show you that as well, too. I hope that kind of answered a little bit. Site and location, yeah. So I do actually capture part of it that actually is presented through the log. If it's not presented through the logs, then I can't really give you anything. So the other thing is that, you know, disk, remember I mentioned about, hey, people are having disk issues and all that. You wanted to understand disk issues are happening. So, hey, and it seems like that host, again, is actually having some disk errors. And it seems like this is a minor error, so it's actually not bad, but you could actually find out sometimes that there's continuous and a lot of errors that are happening. So let me go on the right-hand side. What I also did was I've actually created some queries that you could actually use immediately, and you could actually, you know, apply it. Of course, you could actually change it because these are just examples, but these are actually useful. So for example, I could actually click on it and say, I wanted to understand the devices that are having high event counts. Can you actually show me? And I could show you that that same machine that just gave a warning is attached to that device right there. And by the way, VMware actually provides you like a device name called NAA dot whatever. And sometimes that actually could be your worldwide port name of your SAN storage, and sometimes it's not. But, you know, that's how they identify it. And you'll see that I have 126 events for that particular machine. So I could, again, drill down and figure out, oh, it seems like I'm having a path failure issue right here as well. So maybe I need to look into my hardware and see whether there's some failure with the HVA, or it could be the front end port of the switch or whatnot. So you could actually go through even deeper as well, too. And then, you know, the other thing that you wanted to also understand is, what about my SCSI statuses as well, too? Am I having any weird SCSI statuses? Can I see that? So you could actually see that through that, you know, click on the right-hand side. I have where you could actually see that there's quite a lot of path issue. And then there's some, you know, SCSI status. And these SCSI status are also coming from the ESXi host. We're actually capturing as is so that the customer doesn't lose any data. And again, you know, if I click on that, you'll actually see that, hey, you know, it's actually SCSI status of that. And then also with the 08 machine. And then that's pretty much what it is. And then you actually see that the device that I just mentioned to you, that's actually also clear as well, too. So customer could actually dive in really quickly. Prediction analysis. We've been talking about that. We haven't really gone to that level yet. But, you know, because we need to actually understand more information. So if you do have something that you wanted to see in terms of prediction, that would be very helpful. Yeah. You can actually alert based upon these logs. So what I did was I actually created, some of the examples here. One of them would be, hey, I don't have enough disk space. And this is actual string that actually comes up when the disk space is low. You could actually say, hey, you know, right now, I don't have any ESXi host that has no disk space. So what you could do is you could actually click on it and then start creating your own alerting and then send that alerting back to you. Yeah, so I don't understand about the read-only access. Does that mean that it's a read-only access into the ESXi host or into OMS? Oh, workspace. I think Sorry, that's more of an OMS capability. And we have multiple different type of user roles that are coming up too, but there are user roles right now, currently today. Okay. So as you can see, I've actually populated quite a lot of information in here, if you actually look at it within the field. So if you type equals VMware _CO, you'll see all these informations here. Like host name, process name. Process name is actually your events and daemons that are running inside. Remember I mentioned there's 41, so that's actually that. Syslog informations and so forth. And on the left-hand side, you'll see that these informations are populated, as you can see here. And of course, the failure is coming up here because I'm not parsing any information. So that's actually like a very high nutshell of what the VMware solution can actually do. Though the thing that I wanted to kind of like, you know, understand a little bit more, and you could actually, you know, provide me more information is like, you know, is this what your customers are looking for? If not, you know, like give us a holler or like, you know, and then information all that. And by the way, if you have more questions, just let me know, because I think we have a little bit more to go. Sorry, let me just fast forward to that slide. So some of the information I actually mentioned to you are on the blog, which I've actually wrote. And this VMware solution came out this September. I'm not sure whether all of you are aware, but I've actually written a blog, which is more of a DIY. That DIY is very different with this blog that I wrote, which is for the solution. I've actually seen people being confused between creating on the Windows Server, installing the MMA agent, and creating the you know, custom logs and all that. Those custom logs will not work with this VMware solution, so just be aware. Please actually, if you already referred your customers to the June blog that I actually wrote, please make sure that they're referring to the September one, which is actually this. And this one is actually the one that I'm actually showing you today. And it will automatically populate things. You don't have to create your custom fields and whatnot. You can if you want to, in addition on the UI itself. Let's say the customer wants to say, hey, you know what, I want a little bit more field. Yes, this data would actually pass into OMS. You could actually just say, hey, you know what, I want to create more logs, and then maybe that's something that you can actually do. The other thing is, like, we do have our documentation inside Azure.com. So you actually see that the VMware setup piece is here. The one that I actually giving you some, showing you some ESXi host screenshots, those were that. What I've also did was I've also created an FAQ, and let me show you what the FAQ looks like. And we are going to actually populate the FAQ inside, right now it's in GitHub, but we will be populating that inside our documentation that actually talks about some of the piece, like I just said, is it disruptive? Actually, no, it's not. You know, do I need to reboot it? No, you don't really need to reboot it. And the, you know, some of the pieces that I did blog about the volumes of the OMS, you know, the logs pushing into OMS, because, you know, the customers are a little bit wondering. Yeah, you could actually raise it, or you could actually lower it. So you could actually say, hey, you know what, I want to make it into verbose mode or information mode. That's also in here. There's a couple other stuff about troubleshooting that I've actually written here as well, in terms of, hey, my network connectivity, it seems like there's something wrong, I'm not getting information. It could be your ESXi host settings, or it could be a settings inside VMware, within the VM of your, where the OMS agent is installed. So here I've actually added some capabilities of how to actually check it out and all that. And then lastly, like architecturally, which I did explain in the beginning, hey, you know, you can, it's, we don't actually write any, even though it is using a syslog portal, we're listening to it, we're not writing any files inside the VM. So I just wanted to kind of let you guys know, because some person actually came up to me and said, hey, you know, I was writing to the file, but nothing happened. And we're like, well, we're not writing to the file, we're listening. So that's why it's a lot more lighter. Okay. The other thing that I forgot to actually mention is that within log analytics, I don't know whether you guys are aware, but there is a Power BI capability on top. So what I did was, this was more or less me, you know, I've actually said, hey, you know what, since we do capture some storage latency information, we can actually capture, like, what's the error, when it's happening. You can actually play around with Power BI and push this information in. So these are some of the stuff that you can do if you're actually interested. Let's say, you know, hey, the ESXi K for Keiko machine is here. You could actually, you know, like, play around and do pieces like that. Okay. And let me go back to my slide again. That's the FAQ, but like I said, you could actually access this today. We will actually be pushing it into the actual documentation. So once it's there, like, this pretty much will be gone, but just be careful. Demo, Ron already actually provided that, but you know, you could actually go into the OMS Experience Center, which I just actually showed you. And then, you know, if you have any feedback, let's say, like, you know, the forecasting was another good one that, you know, people are asking me. If you have anything like, hey, you know, can you actually provide me, you know, more information, like performance, inventory, capacity, blah, blah, blah. I think there's a lot that you guys would actually hear from your customers, or you would want to have it yourself. Please actually send an email to OMS VMware at Microsoft.com. That's an alias that I have in my team, which is I'm definitely included in there. Most likely, I will be the one that will be responding back. But this way, you know, I wouldn't miss any emails or anything like that. Okay. But anyways, that's pretty much all with the VMware piece. And again, if you have any questions or I could definitely answer it right now.
Oh, thank you very much, Kiko. That was a very good insight into the solution. So I'm just going to open the lines now, folks. If you have any questions, you know, about the solution, we just want to give you the opportunity to ask those questions at the moment. So I want to take the audience off mute. And if you got any questions, please go ahead and ask. So Kiko, one question that you know, someone was asking and I was trying to figure out, you know, from the solution that we're presenting here in comparison to VMware native monitoring tools, what's the differentiator? Is there, for example, something that the solution does that folks would not be able to get in their native VMware monitoring tools? Any thoughts around that? That's a great question, Mark. Yes, you can do that. So you can absolutely create alerts, and from those alerts you can generate tickets. So for example, I have in my workspace a scenario where I am, and let me share my screen for you so that you can see. Let me just quickly share my desktop before Kiko comes back.
I'm sorry, it seems like I got muted.
Okay, my apologies. There was a question. So the question was whether or not, what's the differentiator between this, your solution, ooh, and native VMware monitoring tools? And then I'll take the question from Mark.
Oh, okay, sorry. I think I was talking to the mute button.
Okay, cool.
All right. So the difference is that if you have vCenter or, vSphere, you have a capability to do alerting, but when it comes to something granular, such as the capability I just talked to you about in terms of, like, you know, logs, with the SCSI, it's the really good example where the SCSI error would come up, but people, it's a warning, it's not an error enough that people would jump into. And, you know, you don't have that granularity of saying, hey, you know what, if the warning comes up, how many times and what type of warning comes up, can you actually alert me? So that's where OMS actually comes up and provides you a better, it would actually give you more of a flexibility of what type of alerting you want and how much you want. Because if your alerting is too noisy, hey, it's hard to actually do your job. And you want to be precise on a particular piece, especially with like SCSI errors like that. So those are some of the pieces that I would say this would actually give people more, better alerting that you really want, rather than, hey, you know, whatever that's already set. And SCSI errors and all that wouldn't really pop up on like a vSphere, vCenter alerting. And there's a lot of other alertings too that are pretty rigid that it's really hard to do that. So that's why this is a lot more flexible.
Okay.
I hope that actually explains it. And then let me go to some of the questions. Are you going to actually support VMware 6.5? Yes, we're looking into it. It just came out as of the recent VM World in Barcelona. I was supposed to go there, but I couldn't. But yeah, 6.5 is something that we are looking into. And Ron, you already explained about, yes, we do have a capability. So within the alerting, you could actually create a webhook that could actually go into ServiceNow and whatnot.
Right. So before we answer David's question, let me just show quickly mark this. Oh, here I have an alert that looks for high CPU usage. So I created this alert, and as Kiko is saying, I have this webhook here that goes into PagerDuty. And so if it fires an event where that my processor time is higher than a certain value, right, then I get an alert that goes by email, or it goes over into my PagerDuty solution. So you'll see here that I'm getting these actionable items inside PagerDuty that I can drill down and take action, in my environment. The other thing I want to mention about alerting solution, not does it only integrate with third-party solutions, but it can also give me ability to take action. So here, for example, I could take an action where I might want to restart a service on my environment using Azure Automation and runbook capabilities. And for example, because I can leverage my hybrid worker capability, I can also execute this action not only on resources in Azure, but items in other data centers at other clouds, for example. So we have that integrated capability from alerting to actionable items inside the OMS workspace. Okay. So then I'll pass you back. I'll pass you back to David's question, and that's a capacity planning question. I think that's a good question, Kiko. How do we approach that, or what's the
So one thing is, as you've seen, we're actually only capturing logs. We're not doing any inventories or capacity to performance. We're actually looking into doing that. And unless we actually capture capacity, it's actually going to be harder for us to actually do capacity planning. So that's something that we're looking in. And if there's David, if you actually have anything that's specific that the customers are looking for, that would be good as well too. So it kind of helps us actually centralize a focus particular area that customer really wants. So if you get more specific data, that would be great, or I could talk to your customer. And then previous to this, I'm sorry, I actually missed this, but I've actually seen somebody actually talking about Hyper-V. Yes, MMA agent already does capture that information of the ETW and whatnot of the Hyper-V. We do actually capture that, but is this something that you guys want to see also for Hyper-V as well to something that I did for the VMware? Because I get people asking me that question. Let's see, sorry, yeah. I don't know, nobody said anything, so I don't know, but yeah. Right.
I think Murad was the one who was asking the Hyper-V question.
Yeah, okay. So, okay. Yeah, because
Gareth answered yes.
Because I'm actually hearing people asking me this, saying, "Oh, it's great with VMware. Like, I like that VM, creation stuff that you're giving me and auditing capability. But what about Hyper-V?" So, I do get that. So it's not really an unusual ask that people are asking for. So, okay, got it. All right. And then for the capacity planning, yeah, I agree. It's going to be more or less for storage that I've actually been hearing as well too. People are asking us, so yeah, we'll look into that. But baby steps first, I would say. Well, yes, I was thinking about that too initially with the hypervisor solution, but sometimes it's actually hard to normalize two different hypervisors because they actually do have a different characteristic. So we might separate them for that reason, but depending on what it is, if we could normalize it, we will actually look into it a little bit further. Sometimes, if you actually look at capacity or let's say like how performance actually works, sometimes how the IOPS sizes could be different. It could be 8K versus like, hey, I'm actually doing 2K, whatever. And and depending on even for the same company, sometimes depending on how their hardware manufacturings are because of the sector counts, some of the IOPS could be really different too. So that's the reason why some of even within some companies, they've actually separated at times. But yeah, definitely. Connect to VMware. So you mentioned connect to VMM. Okay, so do you want us to push it to VMM or have VMM push it to us? I see, I see. Do you hear this a lot from a customer for the VMM connectivity? Migration, I see. So migrate, is this migration from VMware to Hyper-V or Hyper-V to VMware, or is that what it is? VMware to Hyper-V. I see. Okay. That's good feedback. Cool. Yeah, actually, this is the first time I'm hearing this, the migration piece. So yeah, that would be great. And then again, if you have more detail, the better it is for me to kind of look into stuff and then, discuss further within my team. Any more questions? And the more information you give me, the better it is for me to actually create something that really hits your customer, hit your customer's needs. So again, don't be shy, just actually send me anything and I'll be able to provide it. And if there's some pieces that are lacking of information, like, I felt that, so that's why I created an FAQ, stuff like that, we're able to actually provide you more. Actually, I don't have a content pack for VMware. And it would be nice if I did. Right now, I wanted to tackle some of the fundamental pieces, such as capacity and all that. So we might actually do that first, and then we'll see how we could actually team up with the Power BI team. I've already have a conversation with Power BI team about content packs. For that one, you don't have to use a content pack. It's pretty simple. I mean, let's see. So what it is that when you actually publish, I could actually share my desktop again and then I actually show you what I did. It's pretty simple. It wasn't
Yeah,
really
go ahead.
much.
Go ahead, Kiko.
Yeah. Is the Power BI stuff pretty cool? I don't know. Like, just wanted to get more feel from you guys, what you guys think about it. All right, cool. All right.
Yeah, I
Awesome.
think the Power BI is really good because, sometimes again it's visualizing the data and presenting that data to folks that who might not necessarily need to be part of your OMS workspace, right? So you might have somebody like a help desk team, monitoring your environment. You can share that reporting with them via Power BI dashboard, and it gives them visualization.
I see, I see. So for this one, I don't have a content pack. What I actually did was, let's say I just did a query called type equals VMware underscore CO because I want to push everything that I'm capturing through VMware. Okay. So what I did was I just did that. It pushes it. And then you could actually do some particular naming that says, okay, Power BI, like whatever name. I just did VMware LA, because I was lazy. And then you could actually schedule it and say, hey, you know what, I want to do, the minimum we could do is 15 minutes. So you could say, hey, I want to do it every 15 minutes. And then I want to actually capture the data. And you could actually, and what this data set name means is that, you could actually name your data set inside Power BI and you could just say VMware, whatever. And that's what you do. That's all I really did for this one. It's a really simple use. And then once you actually do that, hey, you know what? The data gets populated. So I'll show you a bit. Yeah. So you can see that, hey, you know what? I pushed that data results that I've actually have. And you'll see that, hey, these are all that field that I've already pre-populated. And then, yeah, there is. It's been there for a while. And then, you could actually say, hey, you know what? I wanted to generate something. So you could literally generate any of the information that you have here. So for example, let's say I could just like randomly create it. And then you could actually do it. Power BI, additional Power BI, and then it would be good. I have a Christmas shower data. Yeah, so that's something that you can do. As long as you have your fields populate like this and then you push it, that's something that you can do. So that's what you see that the fields on the right hand side, you see all my fields that I've actually created. these are some of the stuff that you can do as well too. So I could say, hey, ESXi failure, I wanted to understand that failure counts. So I'll do count, and then I will actually put in, like, you know, which host it is. And then, oh, since I actually did that, that's my bad. I wanted to see how many hosts are, this is just a simple example, but let's say, like, how many hosts have this many errors. You could actually see that. It seems like this VPN machine is just causing tons of error. So you can see that VPN machine, hey, you know, maybe I need to actually click on that and then see what else can I do. So you can do some correlation work, and then you can see that, hey, it seems like these are the guys that are actually causing it every freaking, you know, like the events are actually pretty high up, and you can see some of the events. So it's just like really quick examples that I just did, but you can see some randomness that I just did. All right. I hope that kind of helps you with the Power BI. You know, settings and how I actually do it within, like, you know, VMware. Yeah. So you can see it's really simple. You just, I need to just, you know, say, hey, I'll just click on whatever, and then it will just show up.
So Brad has an interesting question. And I guess it's around exporting the raw analytic data outside of, you know, Power BI. I know we can do Excel exports. That's one way. I don't know if we can, you know, do program against the, you know, some form of REST API to export the OMS data and bring that over into, you know, for example, Azure Data Lake. Is that something you think that's possible, Kiko?
I guess you can, but I don't understand why you want to do that. Is there a particular reason why? Like, why want to actually send your OMS data into a data, Azure Data Lake?
Brian,
like, for example, like, you know, yeah, Brian, it would be good if you could elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah. I took you off mute, Brian, just in case you want to.
Hi. So sometimes we like to have this data outside in other data repositories so we can do different types of analytics. I mean, the Power BI reports, they're nice, but I think we would like to do some more complex and more dynamic queries against the data.
Right. I see. Yeah, so we do have a REST API for the log analytics. Let me do a quick. Yeah, we do actually have that. So it's not something that, and I could send, hold on. And there is actually, are you guys aware that there is an OMS SDK site?
Yeah, so basically we were looking into kind of like building some kind of ETL type jobs to extract the data out and then push it into Data Lake. But we were just trying to see if there was any kind of built-in capabilities to just, you know, be able to like kind of switch on and have that data push to Data Lake as well.
Yeah, we don't have that today. And like I said, or that's going to be the SDK. I mean, you would need to use like a REST API to actually get
that. Right. Yeah. Okay.
So this is actually a link to the OMS SDK that actually has all that information. So
okay.
You'll actually see that. What we did was we actually, within OMS, we do have other capabilities such as automation backup and log analytics and whatnot. So we've actually been putting all of our documentation here so that it's actually easier for customers or partners to actually just utilize this. And you can see that the log search API is right here. But yeah, right now we don't have a capability to push it into Data Lake.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The reason why is because, I mean, I think one of the things that is a concern point for a customer would be like, you know, do I need to pay double of the data, right?
Right.
You know, the disk space and all that. So that's another reason why I think we don't have that consideration of actually putting it into Data Lake, because it'll be like duplicate data in different locations within Microsoft.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting because the data repository is kind of like hidden from the user. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you really have to know what you're looking for exactly to pull out that data.
Yeah. And again, you know, you don't want to just actually push any data too. So that's another thing that
right.
I think, you know, that's where I think we're giving that flexibility by giving the SDK.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
So real quick, I've got a comment regarding that. So if you go back and you look at the Power BI creation of data sets, Is there going to be any support coming up within OMS to export to something other than the personal Power BI workspace? The problem that we run into right now is we have to use an individual account or a service account, and the Power BI, the data set that's created by OMS only exists and is only accessible by that sole account. So we then have to, you know, create a report or another layer in order to share that with peers. Is there any way or is there any support coming up to allow you to say, here's the account I'm linking to my Power BI workspace, but then that workspace has read, write, create permissions, and maybe a group level workspace, create my data set in that group level. So my peers can then leverage that, and it becomes essentially like a content pack.
Yeah, right now, there's no, as far as I know, I could be wrong, you know, I haven't heard anything of that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but in terms of like, you know, Power BI, you can actually, you know, let's say this is my personal account, but I've actually created it. I could definitely, you know, share it with other teams or, you know, and you're right. What you could do is you could actually create this as a content pack and send it out to other teams.
Okay. And then the other aspect, you know, kind of a plus one more or less for, and this is a bug right now, and I'm working actively with Power BI folks to get it fixed, but you can't do data modeling in the web interface. So you either get support for data modeling in the desktop version, but then you lose your link to your OMS data, or you link your OMS data, but then you don't get data modeling. So an example is, let's say I want to expose all my perf data that I've collected in OMS, but I want to correlate that with my CMDB.
Yeah.
So the only way to do that is to put it somewhere else, do that data merge, like in a data lake, and then re-import that into Power BI.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, so that's more of a Power BI team piece. I could let them know, but again, you know, we don't control their roadmap, so.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, you know, the easiest, simplest thing would be, well, one of the helpers would be obviously giving people the ability to pull data from OMS easily through like OData or whatever, so that way the Power BI desktop version would allow us to access OMS data.
Right.
And then we could do that data mapping and we could publish that PBX or that, you know, the Power BI desktop file up to the cloud, and then we'd have that mapping and the data markup stuff done. So, I mean, it's you know, both product groups need to come together and find a solution, because what we end up having to do is export to Kusto and replicate the data, sometimes in triplicate, to get the actual mashup that we care about and we need. So it's more on Power BI, but it also would greatly be helpful if OMS product group stepped up and supported dropping the data sets in other workspaces as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Just my 2 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one thing is we are enhancing our UI. We are enhancing quite a lot of pieces as well, too, as we go along. So pushing into the data lake, I'm not really sure because of that duplicate charge mechanism with the customers. But, yeah, I'll take that feedback.
Okay. All right, folks, a lot of great questions, and I thank you for being open about the questions that you're asking and, you know, providing the feedback. I mean, it's the type of feedback that helps us drive innovation and change in our products. So thank you a lot. So we got only 4 minutes left, and I want to be respectful of folks' time. Again, here's the reference information regarding the VMware solution. What we will do is we will post this video on the blog, and you'll have access to the video for sharing internally and for future reference. You can refer to the video. So what's coming up next week? Well, not next week, our next call, we'll be taking a slight deviation, and we'll be looking on our protection and recovery solution. We're talking a little bit about our Azure backup solution, and we'll be introducing a partner in that discussion. So look out for that invite. It'll be a very interesting discussion on how we can leverage Azure Storage for backup and disaster recovery of our workloads. That will be a very interesting discussion. So once again, thank you for attending our call. Hey, Kiko, thank you very much. Very good session. It was really insightful, and I think our customers got a lot of information out of it. And please, if you have any feedback, first of all, download the solution and start playing with it and sharing it with your customers, and provide the feedback to omsvmware@microsoft.com. And thank you once again for attending. Please share this session with your peers, because the insight and feedback that we get from this session helps us to make our products better. Thank you, everybody, and have a good weekend, and take care.
And thank you very much for attending. Please don't forget to email me if you have any questions.
That's right. Hey, Kiko, thank you very much once again.
All right. Thank you.